Let's pray. I mean, we could pray for Carol, too. I know she needs the Lord. And, oh, my, there are so many needs all around us. But let's give it over to the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can put our faith, our trust, our hope in you, Lord. And, oh, God, we thank you that we can bring these needs before you, Lord. And I pray for Jack, Lord. I pray, oh, Lord, that, oh, God, you would make it known, oh, God, how he could be helped, oh, Lord. But most of all, Lord, we pray that you would also talk to his heart, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd get a hold of him, Jesus. And, oh, God, that he'd realize and understand, oh, God, the great need, oh, Lord, to turn his life over to you, Lord. I just pray, oh, God, that you'd use these things for your kingdom and for your glory. Oh, Lord, that you'd talk to his heart, that you'd help him, Lord. And, oh, God, we pray also for the individual with leukemia, Lord. Oh, God, you know the seriousness of this disease, Lord. Lord. And, oh, God, we pray also that you put your hands on this person. Oh, God, that you touch them, Lord. And, oh, God, that you would move in their lives. Oh, God, that you'd make a difference, Lord. And that will would be done, Lord. Oh, God, for thou can heal, Lord. Thou can save. There is nothing too hard for you, Jesus. We give you this person, Lord. Oh, God, that needs a touch from you, Lord. That needs your help, oh, Lord. And we just bring it to you in the name of Jesus. Asking, oh, Lord, that, oh, God, you would work in a very special way, Lord. And God, we just ask, oh Lord, that you continue to help Carol. Lord, oh God, help her, Lord, with all those things that are placed. I pray that you give her strength, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you give her that ability to stand and to walk again, Lord. That you renew her strength, oh Lord, and that you help her, Lord. Oh God, you know her need, Lord. Oh God, we pray, oh God, that you touch her, Lord, that you encourage her, that you lift her up, oh God. Oh Lord, you know this need, Lord. We bring her before you, Lord. Oh God, you know all the needs of your people, Lord. We thank you for what you've done. Lord. Oh God, continue to help your people, Lord. Oh God, strengthen us, Lord, with thy might from above. Oh God, give us faith to believe you, Lord. Oh God, as we reach out to touch thy hem, oh Lord, give us strength, give us faith, give us hope, Lord. Oh God, I pray that you would move, Lord. Oh God, that you set your people free, Lord. Oh God, that you'd move even here tonight. Oh God, that, oh God, your spirit would fall, Lord Jesus. Oh God, that your faith, oh God, would build up in our hearts, Lord, so we can grasp thy promises and, oh, embrace them, Lord. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name, you know the needs of all your people. Oh God, sitting here and online, God, I pray, oh God, that you'd reach out and touch in the name of Jesus. Oh God, that these mountains would be moved in the name of Jesus. Oh God, for thy kingdom, for thy glory. Oh Lord, oh God, for we give it all to thee and thank you. In Jesus' precious name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Just a little bit of faith, like a grain of a mustard seed, Jesus said, and how we need that in these moments that we have here, these precious moments that the Lord has given us. Is this on? So praise our God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, praise God. Amen. We are very blessed here. I know the Lord has helped us. I know, in case anybody's wondering how Jane is doing. She's gone through a lot. And boy, they did an MRI, and there's no tumor in their brain. You know, there's nothing else. Got an amazing brain, they said, and she's fine that way. They just have to find out, maybe it's stress. They feel like it may be stress-induced, the problem she had where she blacked out. But praise the Lord, we're going to continue to believe the Lord. Amen. You know, we're going to continue to trust Him. And, you know, we're going to believe that Samuel's going to be healed. And, you know, all these other things that we have need of. Our God is so able. Amen. Amen. I know He's helping me. That's been a bit of a battle too, and Diane's gone through her things, and Barb had her moments, and you know, here we are. But you know, God is with us. Amen. God is with us. Oh, praise the Lord. We are blessed. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We're going to turn to the scripture right now, and We're going to call this message "Time to Seek the Lord." I wasn't quite sure where I was going to go, but after Sam called today, I just thought it made it very clear that this is where he would take us here tonight. It is time to seek the Lord with all our heart. We are seeing so many things coming upon the face of this earth, you know, and every day is another boggler, it seems like. But praise the Lord, we have a God who is with his people and has promised that he would be with his people until the end of the world. Amen. And we don't know what tomorrow is going to hold, you know. We don't know what's down the road. We don't know, you know, what kind of thing may be ahead of us. But praise the Lord, we know that we serve a God who has been with us, who has kept us this far, who has helped us through all these crazy things that happen in our lives. And we know he's not going to leave us. In our hardest moment, he's not going to leave us. He's going to be with us. And praise the Lord. You know, we can put our faith, our trust, our hope in him. But praise the Lord, wonderful things can happen when hearts will turn to God and surrender their will to the Lord and seek his face. So praise the Lord, we're going to start by going here to Isaiah chapter 55 and read a few verses here in this chapter here, Isaiah 55. Praise the Lord. We'll go down to verse 6 here. And it says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." And praise the Lord. Oh, I'm so glad that there is a way out. This world is so headed for hell. Oh my, people don't realize the path that they are on. But praise the Lord, here is an invitation to seek the Lord while he may yet be found. And it's stern in many ways because, you know, it qualifies it. It is while he may be found. You know, it doesn't take too many years of existence here on this earth to realize, you know, our days are numbered. You know, life is unpredictable. You know, we don't know what tomorrow may hold. We don't know how many years we have. And yet, you know, here is a need that we need to seek the Lord while we yet have that little time, while he may yet be found, to call upon him while he is near. And of course, the great need for the wicked is to forsake their ways, and the unrighteous to forsake their thoughts, and to return unto the Lord. But praise the Lord, he said he would have mercy. He said he would have mercy. You know, that heart that has been estranged to God will turn to God in faith and believe in him and trust in him, put his hope in him. Oh, God will have mercy. Oh, praise the Lord. Not that you could deserve it. Not that you could merit it or earn it. No, but he will have mercy. And it says, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, that's wonderful to think that God who hates sin, God who is a pure eyes, that, you know, he doesn't want to behold in sin, but yet he would pardon sin. Oh, yes, to that contrite heart, that repentant heart that will turn to the living God. God will pardon abundantly. Oh, just more than we could imagine. His abundant mercy, his grace toward those that will call upon him. And then as we read a couple more verses here, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And that's a hard thing for a lot of people to grasp. Because, you know, it seems that people are going on their own ways. And you know, feel pretty content and doing their own things often. And don't even realize how off the track they are. But if you want to get right with God, you've got to get, you know, into His Word. You've got to see what the Word of God says. You've got to see what God is all about. Because you might find that you are 100% off the track. And praise the Lord, yes, because His thinking is not the way that people think in themselves. His ways are not the ways that man would and woman would naturally go, you know, because God's ways are higher. Oh, yes, His thoughts are higher than anything that we could think of our own self. Oh, praise the Lord. And there is a great need to surrender one's will to the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. I did have some wonderful talks with a couple of individuals over the last couple of days. And praise the Lord, I think we might have a couple of families coming here to be baptized. And, you know, I just, you know, you get talking and you start explaining what repentance is all about. And you know what baptism is all about. And, you know, it's not what everybody thinks. And that's, yeah, because, yeah, God's ways are higher. You know, His thoughts are beyond our thoughts. And praise the Lord. But, you know, you start connecting with the Word of God. And, oh, that's what it says. I mean, you know, like, you know, in the days of old when, you know, Josiah was king and, you know, the Word of God had been missing for a long, long time. They were cleaning the temple and suddenly they found it. And all at once, oh, my, they discovered what they were doing was completely contrary to the ways of God. That's how it is. You know, we don't know how off we can be. But praise the Lord has a way of meeting with us. And what a beautiful thing is when He begins to connect with us. And all at once, we can see ourselves, oh, yes, I had this really wonderful talk with this individual yesterday. And, you know, yes, we talked about how it is when suddenly, you know, it's like the veil is gone. And suddenly you can see how wretched and miserable and poor and blind you are. And how you need the living God. How you need to repent. How you need to turn your life over to the living God. Oh, what a beautiful day that is, though. Because of ourselves, we just go on our own merry way. If God didn't interrupt us, if He didn't, you know, knock at our door and help us to see that we needed Him, we would never turn. We would never change. We would never come to Him. We would never surrender our hearts to the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's go to Hosea here. Another minor prophet. Let's go to Hosea here for a moment. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Praise the Lord. Sister Shirley got me thinking of this verse, and it really hasn't left me since. But it says in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you." Oh, praise the Lord. You know, again, you know, fallow ground is ground that may be plowed, but it's unplanted. It's just kind of sitting there. You know, it indicates it's a symbology of inactivity. And a lot of times, you know, those good intentions, those things that we want to do, and I know there's a lot of people that really want in their heart to serve the Lord. I remember talking to a young man, you know, a few years ago. He came to my house to change my windows. Several of them I had to have replaced, and he happened to be, you know, one of the guys they sent over. And praise the Lord, I was able to talk to him about the Lord. And we had pretty serious talk about the need to give, you know, one's life over to God. And I remember, you know, he wasn't quite ready, you know. He said he hoped that someday he'd be able to get right with God. I pray that he will. Amen. You know, that is a need, that those good intentions, you know, those things that people want to do, that fallow ground, that's just sitting there. But here in the scripture, it tells us to sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, break it up. It's time to plant. It's time to sow. It's time to get right. It's time to do the Lord's work. Amen. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Oh, it is time. We don't know how late it is in time. We know that he's going to come one of these days. He's going to come and he's not going to tarry. You know, and it's not going to be that, you know, there's going to be big headlines in the newspaper the day before. It's not going to be announced on the radio and on the television. No, he's going to come. He's going to come suddenly. He's going to come for those that look for him without sin unto salvation. Those that have their lamps trimmed and burning. That's who he's coming for. People who have broken up that fallow ground. People who are occupying until he comes. That's who he's coming for. People who are living about sin. Amen. Who have given it over to the Lord. Who have surrendered their hearts. You know, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, there is not one of us that could say we've never sinned. But praise the Lord, we have this little bit of time to turn it over to God, to give it to God, to give him all those things that are in our hearts, oh, that need to be disposed of, that need to be given over, that need to be surrendered to God. Oh, praise the Lord, he stands at the door, he knocks. He wants you to come in. He wants to come in, rather, and sup with you and you with him. But you know the state of fallen man, it describes it in verse 13 here in Hosea. It says, ye have plowed wickedness. Ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies. Because thou didst trust in thy way. Oh, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. That's the way it is. You know, people think that they're right. You know that their ways are good. But here it says, because thou didst trust in thy way and in the multitude of thy mighty men. Oh, I'll tell you what, that's, you know, something, you know, that tendency to put trust in oneself or trust in the government, trust in the educational system, you know, trust in the universities, all of those kind of things, you know, that, you know, you just kind of think, you know, are, you know, that, you know, couldn't be, you know, misleading, could they? Well, I'll tell you, didn't we read that God's ways are not man's ways? Didn't we say that? Didn't we read that his thoughts are not man's thoughts? I mean, I think we can get a heap of trouble if we're going to trust, you know, what they teach us in the universities. All those liberals and all those people that have another mindset and you know, have motives that we maybe care not to think about. But I'll tell you what, yes, people get in trouble because they trust in their own ways. All those tendencies that lead us astray. And, you know, just turning to here for just a moment to the book of Jeremiah. That sixth chapter here, if I can find it. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. It was quite a time there in the life of Jeremiah, too. You know, it tells us here in the sixth chapter, Jeremiah, verse 13. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. I mean, you couldn't even trust the prophet. You could not trust the priest. How many people put their faith, their trust in religion, in what the priest declares, what the preacher declares? I think we better check it out with the Word of God. It may be contrary. They may be teaching philosophy of man. It may not be accurate. It may not be according to the Word of God. It may be based on man's thinking. And here it was in the times of old, from a prophet even to the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. And besides, what were they doing? They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Oh, a false peace, you know, that they are declaring. And besides, they were condoning sin. It says, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Oh, that's not a good condition to be in when you know wrong is right and right is wrong. Bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. Oh, yes, when you know that's your thinking, your perception, and you know you're committing abominations, you're committing sins. Abominations are things that God despises. But there's no shame. They're just doing it, and they can't even blush. You know, they feel no shame. They're in the middle of it, and you know, it's la-di-da. Everybody's doing it. So why, you know, why would it matter if I do it? But God's Word says, therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Oh yes, He's going to visit this earth one of these days. He's going to come and not tarry. You know, it's going to be over. You know, time is going to be no more. You know? We don't know. Again, like I already said, we don't know that moment. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And then He tells us in verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Just reconsider. Just think. You know the old ways, the old paths, the things that are regarded in the Word of God, the things that God recommends and commands in reality. Stand there in the way, see, ask for the old paths. That's a good way. And you know, redirect your steps. You know, that's the way to walk. That's the way to go. Walk therein. And the promise is, ye shall find rest for your souls. Oh, praise the Lord, the rest of the Holy Ghost that comes to abide in our hearts, that rest that He gives us, to rest from our old works, so that we can rest in the works of the Lord would have us to do. Praise the Lord. But as Jeremiah was proclaiming these words of the Lord, the people said, it says, but they said, we will not walk therein. And it tells us in verse 17, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But the rebellious spirit, the contrary spirit that wants to do everything one's own way, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Oh, praise the Lord. It's laid out in God's Word. The ways of life. Oh, Jesus came to bring forth these wonderful words of life that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Oh, that's why He came. Oh, yes, to bring us salvation. And what an offering it was. Oh, yes, when he took our sins upon himself, dying there on the cross, on that tree. Oh, yes, something he didn't have to do, but oh, because we were fallen, because we were hopeless, because there was no other way, he did. Oh, yes, he came to this earth as a lowly servant. Oh, unknown, and you know, just unrecognized as to who he was, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior. Oh, yes, Messiah had come. But they did not get it. They did not acknowledge him for the most part. In fact, they begged the Romans to crucify him. And so he was. Oh, yes, those that trust in their own ways, in the multitude of their mighty men, oh, the leaders that wouldn't lead them astray. What? You know, those teachers, but, you know, it was a problem in Jesus' time. You know, the people he denounced the most were the Pharisees and the scribes. Blind leaders of the blind, he called them. You know, leading people to hell. Making them, you know, twice, you know, the child of hell. And except our righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, Jesus said, he shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. It's not man's own righteousness that saves us. It's realizing we need God. We need to turn our life over to God. We're hopeless. We're lost. We need Jesus. Praise the Lord. We need Jesus. And praise the Lord. And we'll just reach out. Oh, and let him do it. Oh, praise the Lord. Let him take our sins. Oh, yes, that price that he paid for our sins. Turning it over to him. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is when we can give it over to the Lord Jesus. And oh, know that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we'll just do it. Just do it. Let that pride go. Let our own ways go. Give it to the Lord. Surrender it to the Lord. Let him have his way in your life. Oh, praise the Lord. So the need to sow to yourself in righteousness, to reap in mercy, to break up that fallow ground. For it is time. It is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. We don't know if we're going to have tomorrow. You know how it's going to go down the road. We know that this is the day of salvation. This is the appointed time. And how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Oh, it's a question to ask. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Oh, praise the Lord. It says, you have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty man. Therefore, there were going to be consequences. Therefore shall the tumult arise among the people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, as Shalman spoiled Beth Arbel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your wickedness, your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. Oh, praise the Lord. Consequences of sin. But praise the Lord. If we only ask for the old path, fully go to the Word of God and let it redirect our lives. Let the Word of God change us. You know, I've said this so many times, but let me say it again. You know, we come to the Lord as we are. And he takes us. He accepts us. But he begins to, you know, chisel away at us and reformat us and make us what we ought to be. Because, you know, it's not going to be our own righteousness that's going to get into heaven. We're going to need his help to become that individual we need to be in the Lord. So praise the Lord, we come to him and he begins to work on our lives. Oh, yes, so that we can become that new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, a creation of His, you know, a workmanship of His, you know, something all that, you know, can stand before God. Praise the Lord and bear fruit. Oh, He takes us. We repent, we turn from our wicked, willful ways. We repent, we turn it over to the Lord Jesus. And then we obey the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins. Praise the Lord with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And what a wonderful thing that is. Oh, when He comes to abide in our hearts. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, that way that seemeth right until man, as it tells us in Proverbs, that 14th chapter, verse 12. For the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, we don't want to go that way. Instead, we want to turn it over to the living God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. We're going to go to 1 Samuel, the 7th chapter here for a little bit and see how the Lord might use this portion of Scripture here tonight. Time to seek the Lord. Oh my, time to turn the heart over to God. Here in the 7th chapter of 1 Samuel, we see that after a period of time, when that horrible day when the children of Israel decided to take the ark out to the battlefield, the Ark of the Covenant, that which was not supposed to be seen. It was, you know, hidden, it was concealed, it was, you know, only for the high priest to enter in there. That wonderful thing that represented the presence of the Lord. I believe we discussed last week. But anyway, they did a very foolish thing. They took it out into the battlefield. And, you know, the Philistines were more afraid of it than they were. They recognized that the Lord had come out there. But because this was not directed of God, the children of Israel fell in that day. They had nothing. You know, they were in disobedience. And when you're in disobedience, you're not going to be able to stand before God. You're not going to be able to stand in the battles of this life. You're going to be overtaken because of the sin in your heart. But they did this so foolishly. And of course, you know, the Philistines ended up taking the ark, and then God dealt with them. They put it, you know, in the place where Dagon, their god, was, and you know, Dagon fell down, and, you know, then they put Dagon back up, and, well, this time Dagon fell again, and this time he was nothing but a stump. His head was off, and his arms were off, and, you know, he was nothing but a stump after that. But, you know, and every place they moved it, God would, you know, He would chastise them because, you know, that had to go. That represented His presence. It was, you know, it was out of, you know, where it needed to be. And finally, you know, they consulted and they decided they better send it back to Israel. And so, you know, they came up with their plan and you know, the best they could do, you know, they made a new cart, and they had some milk kine that had never been yoked, and they thought, you know, we'll just let these milk kine, you know, take the ark where it needs to go. And they also, they had to have, you know, some kind of offering, so they had this little coffer by the side where they put five golden emeralds and five golden mice in that, because God had chastised them by putting emeralds, or actually hemorrhoids, you know, on their bodies, and they were, you know, it was horrible. But anyway, that was their thinking. You know, they didn't know God, and so, you know, that ark. Or, excuse me, well, yeah, that was on the cart, and, you know, with the jewels of gold, you know, on the side, and that little coffer that the Philistines had made, you know, it went down the road. You know, God directed it, and you know, they came to Bethshemesh, and you know, there were Levites who took down the ark, and you know, they offered burnt offerings and sacrifices unto the Lord. As they saw it and realized God was bringing it back, but they did also a very foolish thing. They looked inside the ark. Absolutely forbidden. And God smote over 50,000 of them. 50,070 of them. Because they looked into the ark. So here is another problem. But anyway, they called for messengers of Kirjath-Jearim to come and get it. And chapter 7 leads us to that point where it's happening. So verse 1 here, chapter 7, it says, "And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abimelech in the hill, and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord." Now I'm thankful. There were problems in Israel. You know, they had really caused so much distress. They had caused a lot of bondage upon them all, their own selves, because they weren't abiding in the ways of the Lord. But here in verse 2, it tells us here in the 7th chapter of 1 Samuel that they begin to lament after the Lord. And I see that as the Lord softening their hearts and working in their hearts and beginning to turn things over. And of course, by this time, Samuel is older. He's no longer the little boy that his mother brought to the tabernacle there at Shiloh. And it tells us in verse 3, "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines." Now this is interesting. These were children of Israel. They were the children of God, the first covenant people. But yet obviously they had allowed pagan objects to enter into their dwellings and into their hearts. And so Samuel is getting right to the point here. He's telling them, you've got to return unto God. You've got to get your hearts right. You know, first of all, put away those strange gods that you've allowed into your dwellings, into your hearts, that you're playing around with. Ashtaroth and Balaam, all of that. Get rid of them. Prepare your hearts and serve only God. And then he will deliver you. Then he will set you free. Yes, then you'll be all right in the sight of God. You know, it's quite amazing how things seem to get into life. You know, Jesus said that no man can serve two masters. Going to hate the one and love the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. And so many people try to do this. They try to work and live in both worlds, so to speak. And sometimes it's probably unknown. In the time that we live in, with what's being proclaimed in the pulpits, the things that people know, when I was a child, when I went to grade school, it seemed that all of my classmates, you know, went to Sunday school, basically. I don't know of any that didn't. You know, it might have been Lutheran, it might have been Catholic. You know, a lot of Lutherans in Eau Claire, my hometown. But, you know, at least people, you know, they had some background. They knew a little bit. They knew that God created the heavens and the earth. And, you know, they knew the basic stories. You know, they knew Jonah and the well and, you know, certain other stories. They knew how Jesus came to this world. But now I look at the young people that have risen up, and I don't think they know anything about God's Word. I just get that impression so many times when I might share a track or talk to them somewhat. I just get that feeling, that emptiness when I talk with them. I sense that they don't know anything. And perhaps even if they do go to church, you know, they might be hearing from Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, or God knows what. All, you know, C.S. Lewis materials. Oh, I'll tell you what, we are not in good shape here. The things that have crept in, the things that are in the movies, the things that are on the television, the things that are in the magazines, I'll tell you what, all the things, oh, that people mess with. Unknowingly, you know, just all those things, you know, the things that they invite, you know, karate and all kinds of other things into their lives that are pagan in origin. Oh, I'll tell you what, and you know, jewelry that people wear, and you know, the piercings, you know, in their flesh and everything else, you know, there's very few people who really know what the Word of God declares and what God expects. And I have a feeling Samuel, if he was here, oh my, he would preach that same message. If you do return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you. Prepare your heart unto the Lord and serve Him only. You know, I have a feeling that there's some people that are actually Wiccans, and they probably think they're Christians. You know, I mean, you know, it's like everything can, you know, get along. You know, we don't want to, you know, say anything is bad. You know, it all works together. You know, all these different paths all lead to the same place. All these philosophies of man. But, you know, oh, there is a need to prepare the heart to serve Him only. God is a jealous God. You know, He doesn't, you know, He doesn't allow room for you to serve Baal and to serve Him. It's just not going to work. And all those things that people have in their hearts, you know, the things that they put before God, it might be the Packers, you know, it might be all kinds of things that people esteem greater than God. But He wants that spot that's reserved for Him, that spot where we turn our life over to Him and serve Him only. Put aside, get rid of all the other junk, all these other disgusting things that are going to be burnt up anyway. Oh, praise the Lord, it's time to seek the Lord. And there was a promise, if you do this, He will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. Oh, that great need, you know, to examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith, as we're exhorted there in 2 Corinthians, that 13th chapter. And you know, that prayer that was prayed in the Psalms, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my mind. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, that need to examine ourselves and have the Lord search our hearts and see, you know, what might be hidden down there in the crevices of our heart. For you know that heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? As Jeremiah told us in that 17th chapter of Jeremiah. But praise the Lord. The children of Israel, in verse 4 here, did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only. Oh, praise the Lord. And so now it was time to rededicate themselves. And Samuel said in verse 5, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. Oh, there was that day they gathered there together. Samuel called them, and it was a time of self-examination. It was a time of rededication. And praise the Lord, it was a day of fasting. They drew out water, and they poured it out before the Lord. And there Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And then, you know, while this is all going on and either giving themselves over to the Lord, the Philistines hear of it. It says, and when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And praise the Lord, Samuel being that man of God that he was, cried out for them, and he took a suckling lamb. He offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And it says, and Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Oh, praise the Lord, those cries of a righteous man that the Lord hears, you know, those cries that avail much. Oh, they're cried from the heart of that person that is truly serving the Lord. And how God worked. It tells us, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. You know, it must have been puzzling. You know, here they were dedicating themselves to the Lord, and all at once, here's these Philistines coming upon them, and, you know, ready for battle. But praise the Lord, God was ready. God is never late. God is always on time. He hears the cries of His people. He knows our needs even before we ask. And He's going to come. He's going to make a way. He's going to intervene in our lives if we will only trust in Him. And praise the Lord, what did He do? But He made a great thunder. Oh, a great thunder. And it discomfited the enemy. And they were smitten before Israel. Oh, how God did it. You know, God did it. He put them to flight. He destroyed them. Whatever all happened with that mighty thunder. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethgar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, we need those little reminders. Oh, God, back then, oh, I had this problem. I had this need. Oh, God, I was so broke. I had no money. I didn't know how I was going to pay my rent. And, oh, Lord, you made a way. You know, money came just right at the right time, and I was able to pay that rent. Oh, how God does it. You know, oh, God, I was so sick, and I didn't know if I was going to live. But Lord, you touched me and you made me whole and you gave me hope. Oh, praise the Lord. All those reminders, the Lord helped me. The Lord has helped us. Oh, that stone that He put there to remind them, this is a stone of the help. Oh, the help of the Lord. Ebenezer, praise the Lord. It says in verse 13, so the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines until the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel. From Ekron even unto Gath, and the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in Circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. Oh, how the Lord used Samuel. How the Lord heard the cries of those children of Israel when their hearts were made right. Praise the Lord. How the Lord did it. He did it his way. Oh, praise the Lord. And the Philistines didn't come anymore while Samuel was yet alive. Oh, praise the Lord, our wonderful God. But that time to seek Him, the time to make right, oh, the time to get rid of the idolatry and all those little hindrances, all those little things that sneak up and get in our way. And maybe we don't even know it, but it may be time to go through it all and discard the things that are not pleasing unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's another deliverance I want to talk about tonight there in the 12th chapter of Acts. And here in this story, it tells us that, about that time, the first verse here in Acts 12, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. He's all riled up and, he's going to vex the church of the living God, the New Testament church. And it tells us in verse 2, he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And so here he is. He took James and he had him killed with a sword. And now he has taken Peter. And he's keeping him. It's the days of unleavened bread, but he's going to bring him out. He plans anyway to do so. And I'm sure he didn't have nice plans at all for Peter. Tells us, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So he arrested him, he put him in prison, and he delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers, and that means that during the night watches, that at every watch the soldiers would change that would be guarding him, and there would be two that would be right there with the prisoner, and there would be two at the door. So there were four there with Peter at all times. And then, they would change. As the watches changed, then they would bring on another four. And Herod's intention was that after Easter, and he was going to bring him out, forth to the people. And Easter here was a pagan spring festival that, did happen, close to the time of the Passover. But it was a spring festival. It was pagan. It had nothing to do with Christianity at all. But it was in worship to Ishtar and all of that. So anyway, the thought was after Easter, after this celebration was over, he was going to bring Peter out and probably execute him. But thank God, oh my, there were a people that were seeking the Lord. It tells us in verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Oh, the people. Oh, the Lord. They're praying continually for God to deliver Peter. Oh, praise the Lord. They were seeking the Lord. And it says in verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. So you got that quaternion there. And here it is. It's the night before, Herod intends to bring him out. But God had heard and was hearing the cries of his people, that prayer that was made without ceasing. And praise the Lord, God worked in a mighty way. It tells us there in verse 7, "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison." Oh, you can imagine that dark, murky place where Peter was. I'm sure it was horrible. You know, dark and dingy and, you know, just, you know, a dungeon, I would suppose. But praise the Lord, something interrupted his sleep that night. It was the angel of the Lord. And suddenly that light, shone upon Peter. It shone upon the prison. And that angel, it says, he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. Oh, God is working. God is intervening. God is making a difference. God is hearing the cries of his people. And the angels said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw vision. You know, it was like a dream, you know, that all at once he was delivered, the angel of the Lord was there, and all those chains that were on his hands, you know, fell off, and, you know, he was told to cast his garment about him and put on his sandals, and, you know, all of that, to gird himself, all those things, and here he is. He's walking. The angel is leading him, but he, you know, I think it was just a vision at the first. It says, "When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord." Oh, what a beautiful thing, you know. They go past the first ward. It's probably, you know, got a big old heavy door. It's all locked for all I know. And, you know, past the second ward, and, you know, it opens up, and, you know, they go forth, and then there's an iron gate. And the Lord has it just open up of its own accord. And now they're out into the city. They're out of the prison. And they went forth and passed on through one street. And forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Oh, praise the Lord. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Oh, praise the Lord. There were the faithful praying. You know, the home of this Mary, the mother of John Mark. And this Mark may be one that wrote even the Gospel of Mark. We're not sure, but it seems like it could have been. And I believe he may have been the one that accompanied Paul later in his missionary journeys. At least the first part of it anyway. But, you know, here it was. The Lord had done this miracle. God's people were praying. Oh, yes. They were seeking the Lord, and God had heard them. You know, we don't know. We serve a God who knows how to answer by fire. There is nothing too hard for Him. We don't know so many times how God is going to do it. We know that there's this obstacle, there's this problem, you know, there's these circumstances, and, you know, we just don't know. We know we serve a God who can do all things, and nothing shall be impossible to them that believe Him. But praise the Lord, He knows how to work. He knows how to do the things that are impossible with man. And praise the Lord, you know, Peter began to realize, God has delivered me. Oh, God has taken me out of the hand of Herod, from the expectation of the people of the Jews. You know, and then he thought, where to go? And he realized, I'll go to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. And sure enough, that's where many had gathered. That's where many people were praying. Oh, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, yes, when that call to prayer, oh, we have circumstances. We see, you know, oh, the devil coming in like a roaring lion so many times. Oh, there are all kinds of possibilities in this world. We are in jeopardy in so many ways. And how we need to touch the throne of heaven. How we need to touch the Almighty God. Oh, how we need to prevail in prayer. How we need to cry out. Oh, we need some all-day prayer meetings. We need some all-night prayer meetings. We need to touch God. Oh, if we ever needed Him, we need Him now. There's all kinds of needs on every hand, but we serve a God who could do anything and everything according to His will. And praise the Lord, it says in verse 13, as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. You know, they're praying. And isn't this like human nature, you know? When it happens, it's like it's too good to be true. But here they were, you know, Rhoda, hey, Peter's open up, Peter's eye, you know, she's so excited. She forgot to open up, you know, the gate so we can come in, you know, but, you know, you're mad, honey, you know? But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Oh, she knew without a shadow of a doubt. Then said they, it is his angel. That's the next thing, you know. It had to be his angel then that God has brought him back as an angel. Well, Peter continued knocking, it tells us. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Oh, our God who answers by fire. You know, our God who knows how to do the impossible. No, we can just have faith as like a grain of a mustard seed, that literally little tiny seed, just, you know, grain of a mustard seed, just a little bit of faith. If we just have a little bit of faith, we can say to yonder mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And Jesus said it would be done. Oh, praise the Lord, if we could just believe and expect our God to answer. Oh, our God who knows how to do the things that are impossible with man. Oh, God, we thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Oh, God, you know how to intervene in our lives and how to change our circumstances. Oh, praise the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus, for our wonderful God who can do all things. Oh, praise the Lord. If thou canst but believe, oh my, that great need to give it to Jesus Christ and let Him do it. Reading here in Mark 11 for a minute. Verse 20 here. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Praise the Lord, oh, to get away from those doubts, those fears, all those hindrances that try to creep in, you know, and tell us it can't be so. But Jesus said, oh, if you just have faith, you know, just faith, you know, you can say to yonder mountain, Be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. He said, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Oh, praise the Lord. And of course, he emphasized the great need to forgive, because sometimes that stands in the way, things in the heart, you know, that people have stored up that, you know, make it impossible for God to move and to answer in their lives. He said, and when you stand, pray and forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Oh, praise the Lord, the things, oh, that our God will do. That great need to seek the Lord while there is a little bit of time. A little bit of time to seek the Lord. Oh, yes, he's going to come one of these days. It's going to be over. But how we want to be ready. There are some things that you can't put off. And one thing is your salvation. You can't, oh, you better not, anyway. You know, procrastination can be, a terrible hindrance. We don't know what another day may bring forth. Or even if we'll have another day. And praise the Lord, the astonishing things that God will do if we'll only believe, if we'll only pray, if we'll only seek the Lord while we have but a little time. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's go for a moment to another minor prophet, Zephaniah, the second chapter. I want to get a few verses here before I close here tonight. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 1 says, gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as a chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord. All ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Not to think about, isn't it? Praise the Lord. You know that day of the Lord's coming is also the day, the great day of the Lord, when he not only is going to gather his people together, but he is going to judge this world in righteousness. Oh, yes, he came the first time to save us from our sins. The second time he is coming, his return is to judge this world in righteousness. And it's a day of his wrath. Oh, yes, if we are not right in the sight of God, we will meet him in wrath. We will meet him in anger. And here's this warning: before the decree come forth, bring forth, before the day pass as a chaff. Because, oh yes, it's going to come forth, you know. The chaff is going to be divided from the wheat. At that moment, the chaff will fall to the ground. It will have no sustenance to it. It will have no backing. It will have no works. It will not, oh yes, be rot in God. Before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Oh, how we want to be hid in Christ. Oh, how we want that blood that he so freely shed for us to be a covering for our sins, for our past. Oh, yes, that atonement, that gift for our salvation. But praise the Lord, we have opportunity right now to seek the Lord. Oh, ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness, it may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Oh, we want our life to be hid in Christ. Oh, yes, we stand before the Almighty One. Oh, yes, we want to be hid in Christ. We want that blood to cover our sins. Oh, yes, we don't want anything to be there that would separate us from the love of God. Oh, yes, because He is going to gather the nations. He's going to gather the people. You know, the sheep on the right, the goats on the left. And it's either one or the other. It's either we are acquitted for our sins, we are covered in His blood, we are hidden by the Lord, or there is no covering for that sin. And it's open, it's revealed, those sins which have not been forgiven, that blood has not covered them. Oh, they will stand there, oh, strongly. Very, you know, apparently, they are revealed at that time of God's judgment. I thank God we have these moments. We yet have a little time. Our God has appointed a day in which He is going to judge this world in righteousness. He knows what it is. And He told us to watch. He told us to have our lamps trimmed and burning. Oh, yes. Oh, we know that it's coming forth. We've been warned. But we also know that the love of many has waxed cold. And many have turned from the righteous way. And yet there is a need for us to endure until the end, to continue, to watch, to wait. Oh yes, oh, to make sure that we are in good standing with the Lord. Because surely He will come and not tarry. It is going to be over. That day that He is appointed, that He is going to judge the world in righteousness, as Paul said on Mars Hill, by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised him from the dead. Oh, praise the Lord, that day is coming. You know, at the time of past ignorance, God winked at it. But now there's a command that goes forth, a command everywhere that all should repent. That command that all men everywhere must need to repent, to turn their life over to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, the great day of our God is coming. And are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready to stand before God? Have you given it over to the Lord? Have you surrendered your will, your heart, your mind to the Lord Jesus? Are you walking in truth? Have you heeded the gospel? Oh, I tell you indeed, it is time to seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray that You would talk. I pray, oh Lord, that You would talk to our hearts, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that You'd help us to seek You while we yet have a little time. Oh, that we would seek You, Lord, before that great and terrible day of the Lord. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that You would talk. Oh Lord, I pray that, oh God, there would be many that would get their hearts right with You, Lord, and not put it off any longer, Lord. For, oh God, we know that Thou hast appointed a day in which Thou wilt judge the world in righteousness. Oh God, Thou hast appointed this day, and I pray that You'd help us to be ready. Help us to be ready, Lord. We give it over to You, Lord. We give it over to You in Jesus' name. Ask that You'd help us. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Oh, we're so thankful that we know the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, that need, oh yes, to be right with God. Oh yes, to have those lamps trimmed and burning. Praise our God. Ready for the judgment day. Praise the Lord. Thank our God. Oh, praise our name. Praise the name of our Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, praise our God. Okay, praise our God. Oh, thank the Lord. Let's sing a song. Let's sing Because He Lives. Just a minute, let me get to the piano. Praise the Lord. We have such hope in our Lord. Because He lives. Amen. Praise our God. Thank You, Jesus.
It is 98 in our chorus book.
Thank you. Thank you.